So, welcome on this. Dude, you're like 0 for 2
I'm
on
so
these
bad at
starts.
starting episodes. We wanted to touch a little bit about limiting beliefs. And one of my limiting beliefs up until this point was that I didn't think that I could ever start a podcast the correct way.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We're
So
becoming that now.
I wanted, yeah, but I wanted to start with this quote about assumptions. And it was saying that assumptions, if left unchecked, eventually harden into facts. So everything that we believe about the world starts as an assumption, start do we something that we assume about something. And then if we don't challenge that belief over time, it hardens into a fact, and then it becomes our belief, or molded into our belief structure. And what we do in life and how far we get and how we view the world, our belief structure has a very big part in that. It's almost like the box that we're either stuck in or that we feel expanded in. And so, Kev, I know that you as a life coach, you probably work with people's limiting beliefs all the time. Yeah.
It's a part of the program that I teach. I bring my clients through the Dream Builder, which is a proven process over the last 30 years. And it's very early on, in fact, like the limiting beliefs. It's week three or four. No, it's week three. And it's around increasing your sense of deserving, because that's a big thing. Like when you say limiting beliefs, I mean, it's about beliefs, but the first word is the key. They're limiting. Like they're stopping you from living a life that you really want to live. And so, and much of them, most of them, if not all of them, are subconscious. And it's until you set a vision for your life, you set a goal, you put your sights on something that's outside of your comfort zone, outside of the normal, that the limiting beliefs come up. That's the only time that they will come up, as in like come up in your conscious awareness.
Yeah, because otherwise you're never challenging them. You're
Exactly.
living in that structure, and you think that everything's, handy dory, whatever. I haven't heard that
Honky
phrase
dory, dude.
in
Honey dory.
a
I was gonna say copacetic. Like, what words are we using right now? We're millennials. But yeah, the limiting beliefs, and I want to actually dive right in, give a tool. Like, if you notice yourself like believing something that is false, or it's holding you back, like if you're believing that you're not enough, or that you can't do something. And honestly, it may be based on facts, like based on your past, your history, what you've tried before. But all of that are only they're a part of your story, but they're not the whole story. Just as if someone's writing a book, and in the middle of the book, like they're writing the story, everything on the pages prior are concrete, like they're there. But everything that that writer writes from there on can be completely different and completely new. And I think people get that, like they understand that, they've heard that analogy before. They believe in this, they understand it, but like then how do you apply it? And so I want to just give a straight up tool, and we can circle back to this at the end, to like overcome a limiting belief. Is first you have to identify it. First you have to become aware of it. And the way to do that, as what I said before, is setting a goal or vision for your life and start taking action in the direction of that, because then the limiting beliefs will come up. And those limiting beliefs come in as thoughts usually. It's like, I can't do this, I'm not enough. And once you identify that, then what you must do, the only way to change it, is to create an opposite belief. As in, you consciously choose, in the absence of any evidence of it being there, you choose a new supporting belief that supports the kind of life that you want, that supports, like, puts it. Whoa, that might be really weird on the podcast recording. I just hit my microphone by accident, but because I was about to make like a box with like my hands. But it's like creating a new structure. You have to create the new structure with the new belief, and the only way to do that is to create that new belief, as in write it down. It could be as simple as I can do this. But it's just making the opposite of it. And then the practice is repeating that. That's the challenge, is repeating a new supporting belief. But over time, like it changes very quickly once you start to allow it and let go of the old belief.
Yeah, but it's also kind of crazy, like how many beliefs that we have or about how the world works from like childhood.
We have to.
Because that's where we get all of them from. Like
Yeah.
when we're little, like we like your parent, your parental unit, like your parents, like you just outright trust them.
or authority figure, because some people just
like, even when you ask them like why things are the way they are, when they answer you, you tend to believe them, and so you make an agreement with them and with your mind that this is the way the world works. And over time, like I said, it hardens into a fact for you. It hardens into a belief for you. And then you walk around in life believing a certain thing, but it could not be the case. It could not just not be true.
I got an example of that actually. Yeah. Cause like, I know we've been speaking in just like general terms, but just recently so this is June, 2019, when we were at Dreambuilder Live, I became aware of a limiting belief that has been in my life and possibly affecting you too, Chris, because it's from our mom. Mm-hmm. But it was, for me, it was very deeply rooted. And it was the belief, because whenever we would go past like really fancy houses, or like we would see like really nice boats or whatever, like just nice things, our mom would say, that's for the rich and the famous.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until this past June. Now, I've been in this work of changing limiting beliefs for over 5 years. And finally, this one came up. I became aware of it, that I believe that in order for me to be rich, I need to be famous. Mm-hmm. And so that played out in my life, that like me like wanting to grow an Instagram following was like a strong desire for me. And it could be from that. Could be that I want to impact more people. But like, I saw that that was tied to it. And so I created an affirmation that I've been repeating to myself every single day to create a different supporting belief. And that affirmation is, shoot, stage fright, no, blank. Hold on, let me think for a second. I should know this, I've been saying it so much.
Dude, it's so in your subconscious at this point. It's in there in the background, like floating there.
Okay, here it is. Knowing that I am worthy of all the good I desire, I welcome the ever-increasing flow of abundance into and through my life in accordance with the spiritual law of compensation.
Mm.
It's a mouthful, but it answers it. Like it repatterns that, so that there's nothing about fame there. And the wealth comes from just providing a service. It doesn't matter about how many people are following me or my fame.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people listening to realize like how long it took you to realize that that was a limiting belief that you had.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time, these limiting beliefs have been there for so long. So sometimes like the limiting belief won't just be in your face stopping you from doing something. It'll be in the background. So if there's an area in your life where you feel like you're consistently failing, or you're consistently not reaching the goals that you want to reach, start to ask yourself what you truly believe about that area of your life, or what you truly believe about yourself in that area of your life, and see if it's limiting, and start to think where that limiting belief could have came from. Because a lot of our limiting beliefs are in our subconscious. And then another important thing that Kev, that you said, is that you made an affirmation statement, you made a new belief, but that you've been repeating it over and over, because you can't just say it once. Like the beliefs need time to sink down and get integrated into your nervous system. And over time, like that's going to happen. And then you're going to start restructuring your brain, restructuring your body in the way that you feel about yourself. And then it'll be integrated into the person that you are, and you can move forward as a new person.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes time, and it takes work, and it also takes awareness, because you're probably fighting with it every day, like noticing when you step back into that other belief structure, being like, oh crap, like I'm thinking about this again. Like, let me, you know, repattern it.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy process, but it's necessary.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you bring up a bunch of different really good points. Specifically one that I want to nail on the head for the listener, so that they can really get this. Like, it's going to take work. Like the repetition, that's what I really want to nail on the head. Like, that's the only way to change it. I want to be very clear about that. Like, you can go to like, say like a hypnotist, but they're going to do the same thing. They're going to like tell, like they're going to like give your subconscious mind in that relaxed state, a new phrase, a new statement, a new belief, and repeat it. And then they're going to give you the homework of repeating that continuously. Mm-hmm. It may work at an accelerated rate, because in that space, your subconscious mind is open when you're in that state, but it's still the practice of repetition. Mm-hmm. And so it's honestly just like, how bad do you want to change that area of your life, of what you're failing in, or you're not seeing the results that you want in? And so, because, and here's the truth about it, as in, like, to go a little bit deeper and why that's true, why you need to repeat it, is because that's how the beliefs were formed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
When we were kids, how many times did we need to hear our own name first before we realized, like, oh shit, I'm Kevin?
Yeah.
Probably hundreds of times. I mean, that also deals with, like, you know, the computing power of a baby's brain, like when they're first, like, literally born and then growing, but still, like, it's that. And then even beyond that, like, how many times did your parents have to tell you, hey, brush your teeth? Mm-hmm. It's good for you. Like, so many times.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Well, that's another good example with the name too, that I was trying to touch on before, is that a lot of your limiting beliefs, probably most of them, you didn't decide on them.
Mm-hmm.
They were given to you, and yeah, you accepted them as true before you had a chance to consciously think about it and reject it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally like you had your, I didn't choose my name. You didn't choose your name. And a lot of us didn't choose our limiting beliefs either. Mm-hmm. So that's important to realize as well.
Dude, I honestly don't think anyone did.
Yeah.
Cause honestly, why would you choose something that's limiting?
Well, cause I feel like, so if you develop a limiting belief later on in life, chances are you had something happen to you, and it had such an emotional charge to it that it True. Changed the structure of your brain and your nervous system to protect you from future failures in that area. And so you yeah. might have built up a limiting belief about something. Like if someone broke up with you, let's say, and now your limiting belief is I'm not worthy, that was formed because of that very strong emotional event. And now your nervous system is trying to protect you from future hurts. So it's going to blanket every other relationship or every other person as, yo, this person might hurt me. And that's limiting belief.
I want to highlight that you make a really good point. Cause I was talking about, like, the things, especially from my example, like, I got that from childhood. A lot of limiting beliefs are formed from childhood, so you don't get a choice. But what you're describing, very powerful, because it happens over time, as in, like, when we grow up, like, we do have the choice of what perception we take mm-hmm. about what happens in our life. And so that, yeah, just be, it's being, so it's twofold here. It's like, looking back is like, okay, the results I've had, where are those limiting beliefs coming from? Because it could be really, like, you know, decades old, but it also could be, then to also look, the second thing is look in the moment, like in your daily life, is what beliefs are you choosing? You continuously choosing, either if it's like reinforcing the old beliefs that are limiting, or, you know, in certain situations that just happen and in your life, and then you have the opportunity to choose, well, am I going to have a higher perception about this that will serve me later on in life or not? So I think that those two things, you know, really, really important.
Yeah. And you're right. We're all either consciously or unconsciously choosing our belief structure now because we're old enough to decide that.
Yeah. It's not even old enough to decide, but we're old enough now because to have the ability to accept or reject a thought. So, like, psychologists say that develops around like 6, 7, or 8 years old.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty early on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah.
But by that time you're already programmed.
Yeah. One thing I want to finish off with is that these programming, like these beliefs that we have, a lot of them are expansive. They help us live. Like, I was sharing, like, the belief of like height, it's now back, you know, it's backed up by science, but like, that it's like helpful to brush your teeth.
Well,
but
I feel like a lot of the beliefs, good or bad, they help us fold into the structure of society.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they help us grow up to be like little good humans.
It's necessary.
Then, like, the thing is to realize is that, like, first of all, things change.
Yeah.
And second of all, like, there's a major dominant programming on Earth about being a human, about what being human means, but it doesn't mean that you can expand that and you can think of like different ways that you want to make an impact on the world.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, sometimes you need to think differently than everyone else and you need to install a new belief structure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I actually heard this, a book that I'd highly recommend about this. If you want to go deeper in this, is Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements.
I was literally reading
The Fifth Agreement.
Yeah.
Or, because there's two books. I actually haven't read The Four Agreements, but my friend suggested The Fifth Agreement, and I listened to the audiobook, and he covers all the four first agreements to get to the fifth agreement.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it's just powerful, really, really powerful. It's like Toltec wisdom, I think it's called. Like, is it from Mexico? Like the Mexican, like wisdom, ancient wisdom?
I think so. But it was funny that you mentioned that, because I was literally reading his book yesterday or 2 days ago, and that's what I was touching on about making agreements.
Yeah.
Because, like, in order for you to have a belief, you need to agree on it first.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And growing up as a kid, like that's what you're doing. Like you and your parents are agreeing on things about the world, but you don't have any say in it really because you're a kid and you listen to what your parents say and you listen to what society is saying. But you have to agree with it in order for you to start living by it and accepting it into your belief structure, he uses the term like your rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have a rule book or a belief structure, you're going to measure everything that happens to you against that rule book or against that belief structure. And if something doesn't fit in it, even if you might want to do it, like you might want to, let's say, quit your job, but in your belief structure that it doesn't exist to quit a job that you've spent this many years going to school for, and it has this career promise and this like financial security, you know?
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Powerful stuff, man.
Yeah. This is a good book recommendation actually. So go read it.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason why it popped up, and this will end it here, is what I was trying to like really pinpoint is that it's not bad. Mm. Like it just is.
Yeah.
Like we, as humans, we make the meaning, is it good or bad, but ultimately it just comes down to like, is it serving you or not? That's the truth. Because the perception of good or bad like depends. But yeah, it just is like, and we had to, like, that's what I was touching on from his book, which blew my mind. It makes so much sense. Don Miguel Ruiz saying we have to actually get programming, because otherwise how would we operate as a human being? Like there would be nothing to operate from. But once you have the programming, then like there's a certain way of living that you believe and live by. But then as you grow older, you get to choose, like looking at other examples as well as then going into your own imagination and your own heart of like what you want. So you always have the choice. That's the thing I'll end with.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's perfect.
Sweet. Talk to you in another episode.
Peace.
Bye.
That's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. And we really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, just connect with us on Instagram. You could always DM us at Kevin Francis Carton
and at Chris J. Carton. And also, if you feel guided to, the one thing we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and leave us a review. This way we can reach more people and impact more lives with this amazing information. With that, we'll see you on the next episode.